I'd like to share a subject that really came to light as Brother Alan Leppe was here. I'd been studying something for a couple of months that had been on my heart, you know. Sometimes the Lord says, well, I want you to study a little bit about this or that or the other. And so it had come to my mind to think about and spend some time on the subject of hearing the Lord's voice and obeying Him. And I've talked with Pastor John about it over the last couple of months. And then Alan Leppard came last week, and his wife Donna. Y'all remember, did anybody get to see those folks? I know some of you came. We had a good crowd last week. Anyway, they came from England and talked with a British accent, you know. And the brother said something in his message that caught my attention. A lot of things, but in particular several things. And his wife Donna prophesied over everybody who showed up. I mean, she's a prophet, a prophesying machine. And so everybody who was there at the worship master class on Monday night, oh, I think I have a word. And she gave everybody a word. And it was good. She just flows in that. But anyway, both of them said something. During his preaching, he said it. And then she was prophesying. I think it was over Liz or Josh, maybe. I can't remember exactly. Somebody in the back of the room there. And she said it. And he had said it in his message. And what it was that they said was that there is nothing more important that one can do in life than to hear the voice of the Lord and to obey what He says. There's nothing more important in life that one can do than to hear the voice of the Lord and obey Him. I said, well, great. That's what I've been studying on, pondering on, looking at different teachings on, and so forth. So I said, okay, I believe I'm on the right track. The Lord will let you know when you're on the right track, you know. He'll give you indications. And so what I've found in my own life and walking with the Lord and different prayer meetings and so forth, that when you hear the Lord and obey what He says, there's a quickening that takes place. We see it in our prayer meetings. You know, we'll go sometimes and we'll drone along for a while praying for grandma's big toe and whatnot. Anything we can think of. We'll try to come up with stuff. But then somebody will say, well, you know, I just feel like the Lord wants us to pray about this. Or not only pray about this, but I believe the Lord wants us to pray about this in a certain way. We had that happen the other night. A subject came up and somebody said, well, the Lord's telling me to pray this way about it. And as we began to pray, boom, that quickening came. You know, you can sense it. The whole room just kind of lights up, you know. And there's an energy that happens. And that comes from hearing what God is saying and obeying. I mean, there's nothing wrong with just praying stuff. But when you pray what He wants you to or in the way He wants you to, there's something different that happens. You know, there's a quickening that takes place. And I experienced this the other day myself. Pastor John and I rode up to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania for the Voice of the Prophets conference a week and a half ago. And real nice ride. We enjoyed listening to music on the way up. And we're talking about good old oldies. The Eagles, yeah, man. I got a peaceful. Anyway, we listened to some good music. We had a lot of fun. But then got there the next morning. It was Wednesday morning, time for the conference, and I got out and said, I feel a little funny. My throat's feeling funny. And so I went on over and I sat there for a little while. I finally told him, I said, well, I feel a little strange. I think I'll go back to the room and rest a little bit. So he gave me the key to the rental vehicle. And I went on back to the Sheraton there, and I went to sleep. I mean, I slept and I slept and I slept. This was a sleeping virus or something. A sleeping cold, I don't know. It's like I wasn't really that terribly sick, but I just got to sleep. So I slept that whole day, you know, and then the next day slept practically the whole day, slept all night. And then, you know, that second day I was able to go to the meeting. But anyway, what I'm getting to is when I got back this past week on Monday, I was sitting in my office and I said, man, I still feel tired. I'm just tired. I want to go to sleep. And I said, I can't do that. I got to snap out of this somehow, you know. And so I remember something the Lord had spoken to me a few weeks ago to pursue, to begin to look into, do some research on and pursue, and something that he wanted me to look at and study. And I said, well, maybe I'll just do that. And as soon as I started pursuing that thing that I wanted to study and look at, I perked up. You know, I perked up, man. I was excited. I was moving ahead. The tiredness just left me. But see, the reason that was is because there was that quickening. I was finally getting around to obeying something the Lord told me to do. You know, and when that happens, remember the scripture where Jesus said, or Mary said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And so when he said to do this and do that and the other, and it turned the water into wine. And so the miraculous happened when they obeyed what he said. And we've talked about that before. And there's a scripture in John 10:27, and I didn't give Jan the scripture, so she may have a little problem finding scriptures. So just look at it in your Bible, or just listen to it, one or the other. Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice." She's got it. She's fast. I'm telling you. Well, no, that's Joshua. John. John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. We are supposed to hear his voice, every one of his sheep. In fact, all of his sheep have heard his voice, or they wouldn't be sheep. You become sheep by hearing his voice. And so we're all supposed to hear him, and we're all supposed to obey him. And so, since I'm not really following my notes, let's just put that up. I forget where I'm at sometimes. Anyway, so I want to get down to the point where we're talking about the subject of hearing God's voice and obeying him. And now I understand that many of us have studied this before with the Mark Verkler teachings. How many have listened to the series Mark Verkler, How to Hear the Voice of the Lord? See, a few people have. Not everybody has. But that's a great way of hearing from God. He teaches journaling. Lord, what would you like today? Lord, how do you feel about this? And then begin to write the answer. You'd be amazed, you know, how you can hear the Lord's voice that way. And he's done it for 26, 30 years or something. Hears from God every day that way. And we also know that in prayer times we can hear God's voice. Okay, that's not something new to us. We should be hearing what God's saying when you're in prayer. And also, I've talked many times on the subject of meditation in the Word. And meditation, I've said it this way before, that meditation is a form of prayer and communion with God in which he does most of the speaking. He's revealing things to you by the Spirit. So this is not a new subject, but I want to look at it at a little bit different angle. Have you ever known me not to? So I want to talk about hearing from God. I want to talk about obeying God. They're two separate subjects, and just speak a little on each of them. Because sometimes we don't know what it takes to hear the Lord. What do I need to do, God, to hear you? And sometimes there may be hindrances within us that prevent us from obeying God. I could just name a couple of them right off the top of my head, but I'm not going to. I'm going to wait till we get there. So we need to look at both of those. And the first part of this message, I want to watch the clock, see how long each section takes. Okay, got it. This section is called Hearing Comes by the Word of God. This is a scripture we're all familiar with, so we're going to look at it in Romans chapter 10, starting at verse 13 and running through verse 17. And I think this will be a little bit different than what you've heard before. In Romans 10:13, and she hasn't found it yet, but she'll get there eventually. Just follow along with me. It says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it's written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, we've heard that preached many, many times, but I think we may have really missed something in that. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The word there, saved, is the word sozo, which means more than just being born again. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be sozoed. So it's not a one-time process, which we tend to look at that scripture and say, okay, we're preaching the gospel, somebody hears it and obeys, and they get saved. Praise God. That is it, but that's only the beginning. Sozo means to save, to keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction, to heal, to make whole. It means saved, healed, rescued, prospered, and blessed. See, so it has to be an ongoing process. It's just not a one-time I got saved thing. I heard the word of the Lord and I got saved, who I believed. Let's look at it a little bit more. Going back to verse 14. How shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? That's a question. How can you call on somebody in whom you've not believed? Well, the answer is you cannot call on him in whom you have not believed. It's impossible. Because he who comes to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? Well, they certainly cannot. You don't know what you don't know. You can't believe in what you don't know, what you haven't heard. Or how shall they hear without a preacher? Did I skip one? How they've heard, okay. And whom they've not heard. How shall they hear without a preacher? Now that's a good question right there. How shall they hear without a preacher? Someone to preach it to them or to declare it to them. How can they hear about the things of God without a preacher? Actually, the answer is no way. But now we're not talking about just any preacher, because anybody can get up and preach something, this or that or the other. It goes on to say, how shall they preach except they be sent? Amen. And we often say sometimes jokingly, not everybody who preaches is sent. We often say some were sent and some just went. You know, you hear that a lot. And it's true. Some are sent by the Lord and some just went on their own. Sent is from the word apostello, which we get the word apostle from. A sent one. One prepared and sent from the Lord. So he's talking about preachers who are called of God and anointed. For it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Anointed preachers should be beautiful for us to see coming. Amen. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them who bring good tidings, glad tidings of good things. So then faith, they bring an anointed word, a living word. You see, you can hear stuff, but not all of it's living. Not all of it's anointed. Now, we're talking about the rhema of God. That word there, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And that word is the word rhema, which means the word that's alive for now, that's released for the moment. The word that comes forth for now, that's the anointed word. The word that's the rhema word of God. So how does that word anointed come? Or how does that anointed word come to us? It comes to us by way of anointed preaching and teaching. Now, I know everybody can hear from God and they can, you know, be driving down the road and hear God speak something. But the anointed word is given to us by the Lord. It says that in 1 Corinthians 1:21, here's a scripture to connect with that. For after that, or since in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believed. How? By the foolishness of what? Preaching. To do what? To sozo them that believe. See, it's not just the foolishness of preaching that gets you born again. It's the foolishness of preaching that gets you sozoed for the rest of your life. And I'm getting to somewhere here. Don't go to sleep on me now. I promise you I'm getting somewhere. Yes, brother.
Isn't watered a form of sozo?
Watered? I'm not sure. I haven't seen that, but it may be if you look up the word and really study it out. It may be watered.
It's because you're talking about the sozo.
Yeah. Well, I'm not sure if it means that, but that is actually what happens. I mean, we get saved, but then we're watered. We continue to receive anointed preaching and teaching. And that's how the Lord speaks to us and causes us to grow, is through that. And so, I mean, those other ways we spoke of earlier, through prayer, through meditation, through journaling, we can hear from God those ways, but those ways require a foundation within. If you don't have a foundation, if the Word is not abiding in you, then those methods will only take you so far. You got to have some Word living in you before any of those things work. Okay, hang in there, folks. Just hang on there. We're getting somewhere here in a minute. I promise you. See, why am I saying this? I'm saying it to make a point that sometimes we don't recognize the importance of hearing God through anointed preaching and teaching. Sometimes we don't recognize the importance of that, how that God brings a word to us. You know, I'm just going to say this. I may be jumping ahead of myself, but I've been in meetings many, many, many times where I say, this preacher's preaching. I say, oh, man, so-and-so needs this. And look around, they're not there. God sent a word for somebody, and they're not here to get it. I can't tell you the times I've done that. Because God knows where we are. He knows what we need, and He knows how to get a word to us. A word anointed. A word that will quicken us. A word that will help us break through, get past whatever we're at, where we're going through. Now, I mentioned we were at the Voice of the Prophets last week, and Pastor John asked me on about Friday, I guess. Well, what's the Lord speaking to you? What are you getting out of the conference? And I said, well, so-and-so, you know me, well, good old Southern well. Anyway, I said, well, I'm getting this. You know, I've heard this guy say that. It's pretty good. But see, it hadn't really processed in me yet. But the Lord was speaking. The Lord was speaking a lot of good things to me. I just hadn't really been able to put my finger on them yet. And so what I really got out of that conference were several things. And I know many things were spoken. I probably missed about half of it because I was in bed sleeping. But one of the things is that in His presence, it's His presence that makes the Church of Jesus Christ unique from all other religions. They talked about encounter. They talked about in the presence of God. Brother Allen, who was here from England, talked about the presence of God and how we are to be host of the presence. The church is a host of the presence of God. Well, you know, and I start to think about that, and I say, wow, that is amazing. We have the honor and the privilege of hosting the presence of God. Amen. In the community. You can come here and find God's presence. Wow. You know, it was what made Israel unique among the nations, the presence of God. Amen. It was what made David's tabernacle one of a kind, the presence. We sometimes call it encounter. People encounter God and they're changed. You know, we beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord are changed from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord, while we're beholding Him, while we're in His presence. There's a change that takes place. Encounter brings transformation. And as the church, we are a host of His presence. And I'm not changing the subject. I'm just telling you that God spoke some things to me and quicken them in me, things that I knew already. Well, I know that, brother. Yeah, but when God speaks it to you, suddenly, I see it. It's just suddenly, now it's real, you know. This is quickened in me. Amen. And so these are some of the things I got from the conference and many other things, too. And so how did these things get stirred up in me? By the foolishness of preaching. Somebody got up and said something. And you know, how many times have you been in a meeting and the Lord would speak something to you through the preacher, through the teacher, whoever was ministering, and the Lord spoke something to you while they were teaching, and you got it and said, thank you, Lord, I needed that. That's exactly what I needed. And then you go up and say, talk to the guy, thank you for saying that. He said, I didn't say that. You know, I don't remember saying that, you know. Well, that's not really what I meant, but God spoke to you through it. See, he speaks through the foolishness of preaching. So I want us to get more of an understanding of, if you want to hear the voice of God, you've got to get in a place where he can speak to you.
Amen.
Well, no, it's just me and Jesus and my Bible in my basement. I can do it, brother. No, you cannot. You cannot do it. If that were possible, everybody would be doing it, and they're not. See, God sent apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers for the edifying of the body of Christ. If the body of Christ didn't need edifying, he wouldn't send apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers. People who bring the word of the Lord. And so, anyway, we need to understand that that is extremely important, and not take the stand, well, brother so-and-so's coming, I heard him preach last year, I think I'll skip that meeting. Yeah, but what's he saying this year? What's God saying through that brother this year? It may be the very thing you need for a breakthrough. Maybe one little thing. But see, God, when and God is putting together some meetings, and we're bringing brother so-and-so from way out of town somewhere, and advertising and getting it out there, you know, and trying to, and then nobody shows up, you know. I mean, or people from out of town show up and three of the church members show up. This may become a quiet message real fast. But what I'm saying is, if you want to hear the voice of the Lord, be under the spout when it's coming out. You know, get under the spout when the glory's coming out. Because God's going to speak to you one way or another if you will get there where you need to be. Okay, that's all I got to say about that. No, no, maybe it isn't. Well, I've got a piece of ground and I need to go see it. You mean right now when God's speaking a fresh word? Well, I have 5 yoke of oxen. I need to go prove them. You mean right now you can't prove those oxen? After the meeting?
That's right.
Oh, well, I've married a wife. Well, that's wonderful. Congratulations. Bring her with you.
Come on.
You know, praise. She may need to hear the word of the Lord, too. See, God prepares a feast for us. But if you don't come to the table, you don't get it.
Right.
And you know something? If God brings a word for the church, and he stirs up a word in the church, and you weren't there, the church is in something now that you're not. You don't know what's going on. What are they talking about? Well, see, the Lord stirred up a word in the church and you missed it. So I just want to encourage people in that to be a little bit more respectful of the word of God and the rhema word, the preached word. Now, see, there's 2 things, encounter and the anointed word. We need both of them. You know, we need that encounter. Thank God we have presence of God here. Just amazing. We ought to be so thankful for that. But you need that encounter with him, and you need the anointed word, the preached word, the taught word, however he brings it, the prophetic word, whatever it is, we need to be there and get it. So show up when the food is on the table, and you'll hear his voice. See, it's a little bit different angle than we've heard before, huh? Then you'll be able to hear him in your prayers and your meditations and in your journaling. We must have his word alive in us. His living word, his anointed word, you know. And I've recently, you know, as you get a little older, we'll get back to the notes in a minute. As you get a little bit older, you know, life can become a little boring. You know, all the people you used to run around and do fun stuff with, I mean, a lot of them are gone on. I mean, gone from this world. And, you know, you've done things, and, well, you want to do this? Man, I don't know. No. Anyway, you know, life can become humdrum. and you can actually get depressed. There's a lot of depressed old people. You know, I'm just telling you. Because life just isn't exciting like it used to be. But I tell you what, I found that if you will find some good word to get in, it will quicken you. Because the Bible says the last Adam was a life-giving spirit. Anytime we start getting into that word, and the word gets alive in us, suddenly, woohoo, glory to God. I'm just starting out in this thing, you know. Anyway, I want to switch gears now. You finally did get something out of that. Anyhow, obeying the Lord. We're going to talk about obeying the Lord. We talked about hearing the Lord, hearing His voice. If you haven't seen those Mark Verkler videos, I encourage you to check them out. They're really good. And anyway, our ability to obey what the Lord tells us is another subject. Obedience must be learned.
Amen.
The Bible says that even Christ learned obedience. Remember that scripture? You see, because the nature of the flesh is to be rebellious and disobedient, which is really the nature of the devil that was imparted to the flesh when the flesh separated itself from God, when Adam fell. As a scripture in Proverbs 22:15, let's just get some word in here. Proverbs 22, verse 15. The Bible says that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Foolishness is bound in a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. See, it's perfectly natural to be rebellious and disobedient. It's almost one of the first things a child learns when they come in this world.
Right.
Do this. No. I'm not going to. No. No. But see, you know, there's a technique that helps get rid of that. The Bible suggests a specific way of doing it. It's called applying the Board of Education to the seat of learning. That is not child abuse, folks. That is not child abuse. The Bible says if you don't do it, or if you do it, you'll save their soul from trouble. You'll save their soul later on. Children who are not disciplined end up growing up having some serious problems in life. It's harder to learn once you get older. But if you teach it right off, I mean, it's not that you do love them. It's not that you don't love them. It's just that you do love them. You want their lives to be good. So even a small child must be taught obedience. How much more a big child? No, we're not going. That wasn't part. I just added that. The rod of correction, okay? Now, they'll have problems. And rebellious teenagers, they'll become rebellious teenagers. You know, if you look in the Old Covenant, rebellious teenagers were not tolerated in the Old Covenant. Let's take a look at a scripture in Deuteronomy 21. Yeah, we're starting to get real now. We were just kidding up to this point. Now, in Deuteronomy 21, verse 18, it says, this is under the old covenant. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened him will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He's a glutton and a drunkard. Verse 21, and all the men of the city shall stone him with stones that he die. So shalt thou put evil away from among you, and all Israel shall hear and fear. That would kind of put the fear of God in you. I mean, it really would. I mean, I can say right now, thank God for the grace of the new covenant. We have a lot more grace. Who wants to go live under the law? Let's go back to the law. No, no thanks. You know, but the Lord took a hard stand against rebellion. A very hard stand. And we're going to look at scriptures that show that the Lord hates it. It's one of the things the Lord hates is rebellion. And he took a hard stand. And why did he do that? Because if that rebellious spirit remained into adulthood, it had the potential to contaminate the entire congregation, the entire nation. Could become a rebellious. He already said, you know, they're a stiff-necked and rebellious people. So, you know, what? You knew he couldn't let that go. Rebellion's one of the things God hates.